Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, May 21st, 2015. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Malcolm Fraser, contributor to Brewlosophy.com, shares a dry Irish stout experiment. How will chemistry profiles suited for stout and pale ale affect the style? If you're new to home brewing or would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. You can find me on Twitter. My username is basicbrewing, all one word. We also have a Basic Brewing Radio and Basic Brewing Video page on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing. We're on the Google Plus, too. Thanks again, everybody, clicking on the Amazon.com associate link at our basicbrewing.com site. You know how it works, because you're clicking on it a bunch, and we greatly appreciate it. Whenever you think of Amazon shopping, go to our website first and click on our Amazon ad on the right-hand side of the page. You can go back to Amazon.com through that link. You can shop to your heart's content. It won't cost you any extra, but you'll be helping us to bring you the show, and we greatly appreciate your support. We also have associate links for Brew Your Own Magazine and the American Homebrewers Association on our site as well. You can find our Basic Brewing iPhone app on iTunes, our Android app on Amazon.com. We have a Windows Phone app. We're in the BlackBerry podcast directory, and we're on the Stitcher app as well. If you want to put a tip in our tip jar, some coinage in our guitar case, you can go to basicbrewing.com/support. Thanks to everybody who's done so already. We've only got one more show after this one before we go on to our June break from posting Basic Brewing Radio episodes. Of course, along with a little bit of vacationing with the family, we'll be traveling to San Diego to attend the National Homebrewers Conference, and I'm getting very excited about that. We've lined up a bunch of interviews while we're there, and we're looking forward to meeting some of you. If you see us walking around, stop us and say howdy. Steve and I are planning to get together this week to shoot an episode of Basic Brewing Video. I know that we've only been doing one episode a month, but, you know, things have been crazy around here. I have a Maibock on tap that I'm looking forward to sharing with Steve and with you by proxy through the show. I've been trying to brew one lager a year during the winter months, and that's what this Maibock is. It's a lager. It takes a lot of patience to brew a lager and to age it, to lager it. And I've somehow been able to keep my hands off of this one while it's been chilling out in the kegerator. And boy, it's tasty. Now let's talk for a minute before we go on about our continuing sponsors, Desiree and Dave from High Gravity Brewing in Tulsa. High Gravity, I talked about this last week, but High Gravity's Build Your Own Beer feature on highgravitybrew.com. It's really cool. It lets you select all of your ingredients from one page. You don't have to search around the website from hops to malt to yeast to sugars to whatever. All the ingredients available are on one page, including, as I said, yeasts, priming options, fruit flavorings and purees, everything. You can even name your beer on that page. And I've played with it, and it's really cool. It's got this long list of ingredients, very impressive. You click on a checkbox beside each item that you want, enter the amount of the item that you want, and at the bottom of the page, there's a running total of what your beer will cost. So it's a very efficient way to order ingredients for a batch of beer. And High Gravity offers flat rate shipping of $7.99 on most items. So if you're new to brewing, also, High Gravity has a build-your-own starter kit that lets you add onto the base equipment kit. And that, again, is all on one page. So, as I said last week, Desiree and Dave know about this kind of stuff because they come from a technology background. And it really shows. It works out. It's very sharp. So check it out at highgravitybrew.com and let them know that you appreciate their support of this podcast, by the way. And they're just good folks. So there you go. Okay, to be honest, I've got spring fever here, so let's jump right into the interview. As you know, Marshall Schott is the founder of Brewlosophy.com, and you've heard him on the podcast a couple of times. Marshall established a process where he conducts experiments, does blind triangle tests with the results, and then collects data using an online form. And then he writes it all up for the website. Well, now he's working with some contributors to the site to sort of spread out the workload so he doesn't have to do it all. Malcolm Fraser is one of those contributors. And the experiment that Malcolm sent us was brewing a dry Irish stout with two water chemistry profiles, one suited for the style, stouts, and one better suited, or at least they say, for pale ales. So, up until now, Steve Wilkes and I are tied in picking out the odd sample in these brewlosophy experiments. So this is set to be the tiebreaker. Whose taste buds will reign supreme? Let's find out. Malcolm Fraser, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks, James. Thanks for having me on.
Now, your experiment is a spin-off or an arm of, or how would you describe it, a connection to the Brewlosopher experiments. How do you know Marshall Schott, and how did you get entangled with him?
All right. So Marshall and I, through the magic of the interwebs, have become, I guess you could call it, digital buddies. You know, aha cute. So he was sharing his brewlosophy.com website and some of his findings through other forums that we both contributed on. And I liked his website, told him so. And then one time, because I do experiments myself, I asked for him to share his survey with me. And he said more than absolutely. He said, no problem. And then, I guess because we got along on the internet, you know, we had similar senses of humor and interest in beer. And he said, have you ever thought about contributing? And at first I kind of said, no, thank you. And then after a little while, I rethought it and wrote him back. And I said, absolutely. Especially when he told me he had two other guys interested and he told me the format and what he wanted to do. So if you go to brewosophy.com, you can actually see that under the contributors page, there's three people along with Marshall who will be contributing, and the other two have already contributed, posted articles.
So he's building an empire over there.
We're taking over. it's going to be the next Google crusher.
So would you describe Marshall as kind of the editor? Do you submit your stuff to him and let him kind of look over it, or do all of you guys kind of get together and take a look at the reporting of the results before it's published, or how does that work?
Yeah, so I don't like to speak for people, but I think the way he put it to us is he's like felicitating. You know, he's the felicitator of the ideas. So he still runs the show. It's still his website and his ideas. And what we do is we pitch experiments that we think we'd like to do, and we kind of brainstorm them, you know, and he just lets us go and, you know, it seems like right now it's more like yay or nay type stuff, but it's mostly yays. And right now, because it's in the infancy stage, most of the ideas haven't been covered, right? So I'm a water guy. I like water chemistry. And he already did one. And I told him I wanted to do a follow-up, and it was green light, you know?
Well, there you go. So do you have a science background, or what? Where do you come from?
Well, I like to refer myself to as a garage scientist. So most of my tinkering's in my garage. I read a lot, but I have a nuclear background. I was a reactor operator in the Navy, and I was a reactor operator civilian, but I've also done like nuclear fuel inspections and refueling and all sorts of different things related to that field.
Sounds important.
Yeah,
I would make a Homer Simpson reference here, but
if you give me one I haven't heard, I'll send you a beer.
I'm sure you don't tire of those parallels there.
No, I'm a big Simpsons fan, so absolutely love it.
Well, now you have talk about the experiment that you put to us.
Okay, so my experiment is labeled as Water Chemistry Part 2, Messing with Minerals. So my version of the experiment is to evaluate two different beers of the same recipe, which is pretty much how all the brewlosophy experiments go. So I did two dry Irish stouts, brewed them side by side, but one was brewed with water adjusted for what would be typical of a dark malty beer. And then the other one, I made water as if I were making a hoppy pale ale. Mm. And then the purpose was to see if people could tell the difference. And then we ask follow-up questions.
Now, how did you determine the water? What kind of calculator did you use, or how did you determine what profile would be best for which?
Yeah, that's interesting. So I don't really advocate people mimicking water profiles of certain regions, because other people smarter than me have talked about why. But, you know, if you listen to Martin Brueggemann or John Palmer, for example, they'll tell you that those are snapshots in time. The brewers themselves may not be using that actual water. They might be making adjustments. And so I like to make a generalized pale ale recipe or a generalized dark malty recipe, et cetera. And then I use those water profiles. So for this, I actually used Martin Brueggemann's spreadsheet, Brewing Water. It's a free download for the basic version. Then if you donate, you can get more advanced features. So if you go into Brewing Water, and it steps you through, and I'm not going to try to do a tutorial on this, but it steps you through, you know, you put in your water profile, the target water profile, but on the water adjustment page, you actually go in and enter your grist under mash acidification. You enter your grist, and then you can target a certain profile. So it has a drop-down menu, and you can pick ones. So I picked, you know, yellow. I think I did yellow bitter, yellow hoppy, something like that, and it gives you some parameters. And I get close because, like I said, I don't advocate trying to nail these minerals, the PPMs, down to tenths or even single digits. I just get ballpark within 10 or 20.
And did you start with the distilled water? Or did you start with your tap water as a base?
So at home, depending on what I'm doing, because it depends on where I'm going to. So if I'm doing a pale ale, my pale ale water is fairly well suited for my home water is fairly well suited for pale ales. So what I find I need to do is just knock out the alkalinity with some acid and then up the sulfite. And in the article, I explained basically what I think a pale ale water is. And it's basically minimum calcium, or the minimum that you should have, which is often stated around 50 ppm, and then a 2-to-1 sulfite to chloride ratio. But once again, I don't belabor that. If I'm close, I'm close. So all I need to do with my pale ale recipes is a few milliliters of acid to knock the alkalinity down to near zero, and then I add a few grams of calcium sulfite.
And then on the dark beer side, what do you do?
So for this experiment, because I didn't necessarily make water that was like dialed in exactly for what a dry Irish stout is. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And I would refer people to an episode of, if I can mention another podcast, is that
sure.
Okay? So Brew Strong, Martin was interviewed by John Palmer and Jamil Zainashev about Dublin water. And he goes on, and I would just refer your listeners to listen to that. But that water was actually fairly soft. So I wasn't going to do that water and do a separate steeping of dark grains, et cetera, what they do. So what I did is I just made a generic dark malty water. So I took it the opposite side of the pale ale water, minimum calcium, about 50 ppm, and then instead of a 2-to-1 sulfate to chloride, I went the other way, 2-to-1 chloride to sulfite. And then I also, I would typically wouldn't have to use as much acid, right, because the dark grains will remove some of that or neutralize some of that alkalinity themselves. Mm-hmm. So I had to add a little less acid to just bring my pH in line with what the pale ale was. And the reason why I did that is pH will follow itself all the way through the process. So I didn't want these beers to be different in pH and in minerals, because I really wanted to try to isolate the best you can in someone's garage the effect of the minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And I go through that in the article. But on Marshall's previous experiment, he did have different pHs. And that experiment was also considered significant. He had a significant finding of enough people who recognized the different beer. So that was already kind of tested. So this one, I was really trying to just do something slightly different for the readers and try to show the effect or the potential for an effect of sulfite and chloride on dark and malty beers, dark, malty, or pale hoppy beers.
Now, did you see any difference in the numbers as far as the starting gravity and the final gravity, or any difference in the performance of the yeast between the
no,
two?
No, the yeast chugged along. I used WLP-004, I think, Irish ale yeast, and 1 liter starter for each of them, and they attenuated at the same pace, about 6 days. It might have been 4 or 5 days, but I checked them at six, and they were both at 1.010, and they both started within, I think, one gravity point of each other. Hmm. So when you read through the article, you'll see that I had a couple issues with, like, my original gravity. I think they were 2 gravity points off, and that's at in the kettle, you know, after my batch sparge. So I adjusted that with the boil rate and got them, dialed them in pretty close. That my starting gravities were within, I think, one of each other. 1.0, I have it right here. 1.047, 1.048. So I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah. Any other details for the experiment before we go into the tasting?
Let me think. We talked about the 2-to-1 sulfite to chloride for the pale. We talked about the 2-to-1 chloride to sulfate.
How were they carbonated? Were they from the keg, or were they bottle conditioned?
Yeah, I forced carb almost everything in the keg. You know, unless I'm going for a specific characteristic, like, you know, a Belgian ale that I can't get the 4 volumes in my keg and serve properly without it foaming. I pretty much force carb everything.
And we should say, or maybe it's interesting, you did a good job of packing the beers, and luckily I asked you for 2 sets because one of the blue ones didn't make it. And I jokingly, you sent me a picture of the UPS label before you shipped it, and I said, I jokingly said, it's nice to see the label before the tire marks and footprints get on it. And you know, I don't want to pick on UPS too much, because most of the time, you know, they do a good job, and the driver who comes to our door is always careful with what he brings. But the blue bottle was crunched. I don't know. You know, I don't know, because it was wrapped in a bubble wrap. I don't know whether it burst or you know, it was kicked or something. But you did a good job in that. You know, everything was wrapped in bubble wrap, and then you did a double layer of garbage bags around the beers. And still yet, there was some beer seeping through the cardboard on the outside.
Wow.
So
wow.
I guess this one of the glass shards pierced the 2 layers of garbage bag. So,
yeah, I ship a lot for competition too. And you're my first breakage that I know of. So congratulations!
Yay! Yeah. So redundancy is good.
Yeah,
redundancy is good.
Absolutely. That's a nuke thing. Two trains of everything, right?
There you go. I would imagine that homebrew is nothing compared to what you handled in the past. So Steve and I got the beers, and we sat on the porch, and we had a porch tasting.
Excellent.
Steve Wilkes, welcome to the latest edition of Porch Tasting.
Porch tasting.
Where you don't actually taste the porch.
No.
You taste beers on the porch.
Yep, and salsa.
So we have a dark beer this time.
Mm-hmm.
And we got, this was interesting because we each got different answers, and yet when we went through the quiz or the survey, we got the same questions. So we don't know who was right and who was wrong.
No, we don't. I haven't got a clue.
We do know that the experiment was about water chemistry, And that one beer was given the water chemistry that was optimal for a dark beer, and the other was given the water chemistry that was optimal for a light, hoppy pale ale. But even knowing that, it asked us again, which one, are you sure? Is that the that's the one that you want? So, first of all, describe the character of the beers.
Well, they're all they're definitely, you know, in the Irish stout bailiwick, and so you know they're kind of a lighter stout or a bigger porter, however you want to call that. They're all three really nice beers. I chose to be different. I chose it because I thought it wasn't as fruity. It didn't have quite those kind of big English fruity overtones, or I guess Irish overtones. And so, but all three beers were very drinkable, and really without lots and lots of thought, I wouldn't have picked out that there was any difference between the three.
Well, as they warmed up, as you would predict, it seemed like to me that the perceived differences were increased. But, you know, that may be just me talking to myself.
Well, I agree with that. Yeah.
But as I normally do with these things, I vacillated back and forth between, you know, all three. At one point, I thought each of them was, you know, different.
Well, I kept vacillating around.
You're a slick guy.
I was sliding around all over the place.
I do definitely feel more lubricated after drinking these.
<That's right>.
so to speak. So which one? Okay, you said that G was different because it was more or less fruity.
I thought G was less fruity.
Less fruity.
And it was different. And I thought that the other two beers, the red and the, I don't know what we got, red, green, and blue. I thought red and blue were the same beer. They just tasted exactly the same to me. But you chose differently than I did.
I did. I chose the blue one to be different. I thought that especially in comparison with the green beer, that the blue beer was more roasty and less bitter. To me, it had less of a bite than the green beer. And to tell you the truth, the red beer was kind of halfway in between the blue and the green to me. And maybe that was a carbonation issue. I don't know. But it seemed to me that... But, however, I thought that the red was closer to the blue than it was to the green. So, therefore... No. I said it was closer to the red was closer to the green than it was to the blue. Therefore, I said the blue was different. So, I thought the blue was a little more roasty.
Mm-hmm.
The roastedness of the grains to me came out better, and the green was just more bitter, is sharper, and to me,
well, it's not easy being green.
That's right. So the next question is, which did you prefer?
Well, I guess I would have to say that I preferred the green beer. But again, I'm really splitting hairs here because they're very similar, and I would probably I prefer the green beer. The fruity characters. It's what I think is interesting, not to change the subject, but that. You know, my palate was picking up and concentrating on the esters.
Mm.
And you were picking up and concentrating on the sharpness of the grains, the roastiness,
or those kinds of flavors. Bitterness.
Hop bitterness. Where I didn't perceive much difference at all in those things.
Huh.
So it's like, you know, our palates worked very differently then. So, but I didn't find any beer objectionable. And I found all three beers to be... Or both beers. I guess there's just two beers. But I found them to be, you know, eminently drinkable in the style of an Irish stout. But I think the dryness, the lack of that kind of fruity, a little bit of bubblegummy sort of thing going, made my choice one that I would say, well, this is the right beer. This is the one I would want.
Interesting. So I guess we'll just have to... to wait till the interview to figure out who's right.
Yeah,
because we're tied up until now, right? As far as picking the odd beer, you and I are tied.
I think we are. Yeah,
this is a tiebreaker. There's a lot at stake here. And then we have a sour cider that's not part of the experiment that we're going to sample here. And so Malcolm, good job on Malcolm on the brewing, because yeah, I agree, they were both good beers.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of and they were pretty darn close together, especially when they were cold.
Yeah, you couldn't tell anything different when they were cold.
Yeah,
it took them to warm up. I think it's interesting too, because water chemistry, I do think it's important. I truly don't mean to dismiss it, but as a home brewer, I'm not that concerned with it. And maybe that's sacrilege to say that, but I'm kind of like, if I've got good water that tastes good, mm-hmm. just on its own, then I'm pretty comfortable brewing with it. And the kind of brewer I am, I'm just not that concerned with have I hit the calcium rate exactly right for, you know, Burton water.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I just don't go there. That doesn't mean it's right or wrong to do that. I just don't. So, I don't know.
Well, it does make a difference. I mean, you know, remember the spring water experiment up in Michigan? You know,
yes.
We were tasting seven different beers?
Yeah, yeah.
It was a bunch of different beers using water from all over, and they were different.
Yeah.
They were each different. So
I'm
there's
still
no
hungover too. By the way.
I've got some Advil inside.
Still working on that.
We need some hydration.
Yeah.
But we there's no doubt that water chemistry makes a difference. But you're saying that unless you're trying to reach a certain category pigeonhole, if you like the beer that comes out, then it's still
it's
good
okay.
beer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and but again, I mean, if I, you know, I'm not a competitive brewer, I brew for my own enjoyment and my friends. I do try to brew, you know, if I'm going to brew an English pale ale, I don't want to, you know, brew it with a whole bunch of
American hops
and
Belgian yeast.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I just changed the recipe some.
That's my take
on
English ale.
I'm not that far gone, don't get me wrong. But I'm not the kind of brewer that kind of, I need to put a teaspoon of calcium in there because that's what has to be in there. I just don't go that far. And
cheers to those who do.
Yeah, and cheers to those who do, absolutely.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, James.
So,
I like the birds.
Okay. So, Malcolm, do you have any guesses on the birds, on what birds we were hearing there?
Oh, geez. It's a mockingjay. Definitely a mockingjay.
That's right. That's right.
I had to watch that movie with my wife, so, you know, that's what I'm claiming. It's not because I wanted to see Jennifer Lawrence bounce around.
I'm staying out of all of that. Now, the loudest bird around the porch, I believe, was a wren. And I don't know if it was a house wren or a Carolina wren. Somebody will write in on that. But anyway, wrens are – they've got to have the most decibels per ounce of any domestic bird.
Yeah, it was nice. It sounded like summer in the background there. So that was nice.
There you go. Well, it's killing me because usually the way the survey is structured, you can tell whether you got the answer right or wrong because the questions are different. You know, you get more questions after a correct answer than a wrong answer. And so both of us, we picked different ones and both of us got the same number of questions after we selected. So we don't know who got it right.
And we threw you a curveball there, James. As I talked about with the new collaborators, our contributors to the website, one of the things we noticed was some information that we were getting wasn't necessarily useful, and we wanted to lead the survey in a different direction. So, you know, Marshall came to us and said, what are some suggestions? And one of the things we did was do a revamp of the survey. So now you get asked questions regardless, but your answers aren't necessarily heeded if you're wrong. You know? So there's two different streams you can go down to. It's like choose your own adventure. And if you get it right, you know, you go this way and you're asked questions and we'll accept your answers as part of the data collection. But we still collect the data if you're wrong, just to see if it matters, especially after the origin of the experiment is revealed. We want to see how people answer differently there as well.
Yeah, that was interesting because it said, you know, which one do you think is different? And we chose. And then it basically revealed the nature of the experiment. And then it basically said, are you sure?
Yeah.
Do you want to pick another one now?
and we might need to do a better job of explaining that a little bit because people didn't really change their answers. There was only one person who changed their answer. And this is just an assumption, of course, but I don't think people understood what we were asking there. So basically we said, hey, we did this to these beers. And then some people who are more knowledgeable might be able to go, oh, now I know what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think that was grasped very well. So
you can make all kinds of assumptions. You know, you could assume that, you know, one chemistry would have an effect on the beer and the other might not. You might be wrong, and so you might pick the wrong answer anyway. So,
right. But if you are more knowledgeable, and I'm not saying that.
Oh, we're novices on water chemistry. So
okay.
You won't insult us there.
Yeah, but any question, any brewing question that was revealed, and we'd say, hey, we did this. You know, if I tell. Because we try to get tasters on our sensory panels across the board. You know, they're not all BJCP trained judges, and they're not all novices. They're all across the board. So one of the persons who people who contributed for me was a craft beer restaurant owner. So she knows beer, but if I tell her what first wort hopping is, or something like that, or if I say, "Hey, I did a longer boil," she doesn't know what that means. So she's probably not going to change her answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but. You might. You
know, that's true.
So.
Okay. So now, you know, I'm on the edge of my virtual seat here.
Okay.
What was the different beer?
Well, I want to make you feel good, and because you're the host, and I've been listening a long time. So I want to tell you blue or green, because that's what you guys chose.
Oh, no.
But the good news is if you picked blue or green, you're not in odd company because there was 11 people who chose those two beers. But 18 people chose correctly and chose red.
Oh, you're kidding. Well, the good news is that Steve and I are still tied.
You're wrong together. You're both incorrect in the exact same way.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So 11 people picked, green or blue.
Correct.
And 18 picked red, 18 picked correct, 11 picked incorrectly. So is that a significant enough difference?
Yes. For this number of participants, 29, we needed 15 people to correct the different beer and we had 18. So this was the most significant finding we've had yet.
Wow.
And we only had one other significant result, and it was also water chemistry. It was the water chemistry part one.
Wow. Well, there you go. Whoops, this recording got lost.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Malcolm, that show is not going to air. Don't tell your mom to listen in.
I have no idea who Malcolm Fraser was. I have no idea. Well, at least Steve and I are in, like you said, at least Steve and I are in good company in that we both chose wrong.
And all the judges got it right. You know, there was judges who I know are very good judges who got it wrong. And there was one a girl who I think has a really good palate, a woman, I should say, and she got it wrong. I was amazed by that. And what it comes down to is some people are better at tasting different things, you know, and there is some element of randomness. I think the order in which you get the beers matters. That's why I try to change that up a little bit. So Yeah, it's one person gets diacetyl like nobody's business. Another person really hits on bitterness or malt. You know, it's, everyone has different talents.
Right. And, you know, I tried to go, you know, I started to, I poured out the samples kind of randomly, and I started tasting left, middle, right, and then I would do right, middle, left, and then I would do middle, left, you know, and so we would try to switch up the order in which they were, you know, we were tasting, and our opinion, as I said in the recording, you know, my opinion changed like three or four times as far as which one was which. And
yeah.
You know, it's just a, for me, it was kind of like a wheel of fortune of when I stopped. It was, to us, it was very close. But like you said, you know, there are people that probably would key off, you know, these flavor components better than we did.
Yeah, and unscientifically, what I noticed is that most people who got it on the first go.
Hmm.
Most people, there was one or two people who said, I didn't get it until they warmed real well and I shook a lot of the gas out, et cetera, et cetera. But most of the people, it was immediately evident to them. And none of them, just like all the other experiments, none of them knew the nature of it, just which one's different. So some people just, bam, had it, you know, and that's the way I think it goes for some people with some sensory items, you know.
So can you tell the difference?
So I mentioned this in the article during my impressions portion, and I likened it to asking a mother to differentiate her twins. You know, it's not obvious to everyone else, but she knows these kids. She raised them all the way through. So I was with this beer through the entire process, and I knew what I did to them,
mm-hmm.
and how I manipulated the beers. So I knew exactly what I should be looking for, and I can get them. I can get them every time. Just like Marshall said on one of the previous episodes with you, he will have someone serve them to him blind. So I had people do it because I was put in the hot seat. People, mm-hmm. people who especially get it wrong, are like, well, can you tell? You know, I was like, yeah, I can tell. So I had it served to me, or the beer served to me four different times. And I got them three times just by smell.
Wow.
And then the last time I had to taste, you know, a little bit to make sure I was right, because I was starting to get palate fatigued and stuff like that. But that doesn't say anything about my ability to taste by any means. Trust me, I judge enough that I know I have weaknesses, you know, and they're, you know, for diacetyl, I have to ask people sometimes, does this have diacetyl in it, you know? So
wow.
What it means is that I knew exactly what to look for, and I had spent a lot of time with the beers all through the process. I tasted them as wort. I tasted them off the fermenter. I tasted them right before kegging. And right before kegging, these beers were so starkly different. I was just – I texted Marshall. I was like, I'd be surprised if anyone gets this wrong. But after they were you know, chilled and gelatined and carbonated, that delta came much closer together for me, and I had to go look for it. But I did know what to look for.
Yeah, that, I mean, I've experienced the same thing with some of the experiments that we've done in the past. Yeah, if you taste the two beers and you have, you know, several of them, and your palate kind of gets attuned to those different beers. I guess I didn't ask which one was preferred. I mean, was the proper water chemistry preferred over the improper water chemistry?
Well, that's one of the more interesting things, in my opinion. I think all the contributors kind of agreed, and no, there wasn't a real difference. So I have the numbers here as far as which one was preferred, and I have no preference. Was 36%. No, I have no clear preference was 36%. Some people, 27%, liked the beers that were the same, so the blue, and 36.4% preferred the beer that was different. So that's not with any degree that matters.
Huh.
And what it tells me, and this is reading into something, of course, you know, just analyzing the data, But what it tells me is that there is no necessarily better way. But what matters is that the experiment revealed that they're different. And
yeah.
And enough that 18 people out of 29 said so. So it's beyond the margin of error. And now what I like about that finding, though, is it says you can now manipulate your water to how you want it, if that makes any sense. Because we also gathered opinions. You know, you took the survey and you saw it, and people were able to say what they liked and what they didn't like, or how they perceived the beers. And the general consensus, generally, you know, not like 100%, but the people who preferred the red one, they said they liked it because, hey, it's a little more malty. It's a little more sweet, a little fuller. And that's what we have read from most of these water experts, that what a higher chloride ratio will do is it will give a perception of a maltier, more complex, a sweeter, fuller beer. It leans towards malt. That's why it was 2-to-1 chloride to sulfate for the dark malty beer. And then a lot of comments went the other way for the pale ale water, for the dry Irish stout. The people that liked it, they liked it for the properties that that water gives to a beer. They liked that it was sharper, crisper, drier. So if you're a brewer now and you say, hey, I want my dry Irish stout to be that way. I want it to be drier, crisper, more roasty. Perhaps what you want to do is go a little heavier on the sulfate. If you want your dry Irish stout, to be a little more the other way, you know, a little less snappy and with the hops and a little more malt forward, perhaps you want to go more chloride, or you want to shoot the middle and go balanced. Up to you.
Yeah, I mean, Steve's comment was that he liked green because it was drier and not as fruity, and I liked blue because it was more roasty. So we're both right.
yeah, exactly. See, you are right.
Yes.
Well, there is no wrong when it comes to what you prefer, right? So so you prefer what you prefer, and that's all that matters. And yeah.
And they were all three. I mean, all three samples were perfectly fine and perfectly drinkable. And if you'd given given us any of those beers, a full pint, we would have been perfectly happy.
Yeah, that's good. It's always, you're always a little nervous when you send a beer to get tasted, on air. You know, hey, I know you guys are polite, but, it's always a little nervous, especially right in the middle of a heat wave. That might have been one of the reasons why one of those bottles burst, because as soon as I finally send these beers off, it was much hotter than it's been all year long. So I was worried about how the heat might have tortured those beers a little bit. So I'm glad they were at least drinkable.
Well, I'd like to hear your definition of what a heat wave is up there.
Well, in
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Not a real heat wave, trust me. 80s, 80s. I'll take 80s. I'll take 80s all day long right now. We had a pretty bad winter.
Yeah, that's and it's another reason to send duplicate samples because.
You want more beer.
Right. Well, that too. But and the other two that we didn't use are in the fridge downstairs. And those are designated for my wife because she likes that style. So,
Which one did you lose? Which
color blue, did you lose? The blue one.
Oh, so that's good. So you still have one each.
That's true. Yeah. We can do a side-by-side again.
But what I would recommend is do a side-by-side and then do what I do, because people ask me which one I prefer. I like them blended.
Oh, well, there you go.
Because they are starkly different, in my opinion. And now that you know that the differences, you will be able to pick them out better, probably. So I would, obviously let your wife have them because you want to, please the lioness. But ask her pretty please, can you have a couple ounces each?
Well, and she wasn't included on the sampling, so it would be interesting to see what if she, can pick out some differences too.
Absolutely.
But I was going to say, one of the reasons why you send duplicate beers to a competition is if something is wrong with a bottle, if there is a bottle that has an infection or a contamination of some sort, you can kind of do get a mulligan, you can get a do-over, and they might bring another bottle, of that same beer to the table, to try to give it a fair shot.
Yeah, I say all the time, but if I get a beer that's not what I think it could have been, because there's something underneath there that go, well, this is still a good beer underneath this. You know, we're trained to give those guys the benefit of the doubt. You know, give the brewer the benefit of the doubt, try the other beer, and give them a fair shot.
Right. And you know, I get more beer.
Exactly.
Ideally, you know, if I have time, you know, I'll get Andy or you know, someone, one of the professional brewers around here or something to do the experiment as well and to get even more data into your system.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it doesn't work out that way, but I like to try to do that. So this is very interesting. Do you have any other experiments in the pipeline?
We do. We have a plethora of experiments, ones that we're coming up with and ones that are requested or suggested by readers and maybe now listeners. So you're more than welcome to send them to brewlosophy.com and join in the conversation. Marshall and the other contributors are often on Reddit or through his Facebook page. And absolutely, ask more questions. We'll answer them best we can. And put you in the battery of suggested experiments. We don't right now, Marshall and the other guys. We don't want to release what those experiments are coming up. There's no, you know, like conveyor belt pipeline, because then the sensory panels would be biased because they would know what to look for.
Ah, good point.
If that makes sense.
Sure.
And so would you. You know, if we continue to have you as part of the process, which is great, by the way.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. And if you know, you would know what to look for, and you guys would catch on pretty quick, I think.
Sure. Are you going out to San Diego in June?
Oh, it's a long story. I don't think my wife would stop me, but I just don't think I told her I'd go every other year. So okay. I've gone twice now because they were both on the East Coast, you know, NHC and then Michigan. So I think I'd be pushing my luck.
And you've got young daughters at home. So
two beautiful daughters. You need to
save up points for the future.
But
Marshall, I think, we've talked about, I think he's going out there and we've talked about meeting up and doing some of these things in person. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm still thinking about it because I luckily have a lot of friends from the Navy and people have offered to let me stay with them. So it makes it cheaper and more affordable. And then I also have friends work for the airline company, and someone said they'll give me a buddy pass. So they're all trying to get me out there, which is flattering and nice, but it's still time away, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I completely understand. There's a reason that my, you know, my brewing slacked off in certain years. You know, it's important. There'll be other conferences in the future. So, stay at home and brew more. And
Well, I can't let my wife listen to that part because she don't think it's possible. I brew a lot.
You know. Awesome. Well, it's been fun, and I appreciate your sharing the experiment. And I hope to talk to you again soon. Thanks, Malcolm.
Thanks a lot, James.
Well, thanks again to Malcolm. We also sampled the sour cider that Malcolm sent as a bonus while we were on the porch, and it was very nice. It was tart, but the fruit flavor of the apples still came through. It was very refreshing out there on the porch with all the birds and the mowers and things like that. And it turns out that for the sour cider, Malcolm did a wild inoculation of that cider by putting it in a chafing dish outside overnight with a window screen over it. And if I'd planned better, we could have recorded that sampling and talked more about that, but oh well. check out Malcolm's contributing story on his experiment on brewlosophy.com. And we thank Marshall Schott, the brewlosopher, for supplying the platform that these cool experiments can happen on and be evaluated through. And it's fun to take part with that. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our support link where you can throw a couple of bucks into the tip jar by subscribing financially to our podcasts. Be sure to check out our DVDs, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site. And you will get a free bottle opener with any of our DVD combos that you order. So that's really cool. People love the openers. And you can check out our Basic Brewing shirts in the store as well. You can see listening to the fine folks across the country sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. And if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com. And as usual, thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We greatly appreciate the support there. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are When to Rob a Bank and 131 More Warped Suggestions and Well-Intended Rants and Stamina 4825 Magnetic Resistance Recumbent Bike. Thanks again, everybody. Remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo on our site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping. We greatly appreciate your support. Don't forget, you can also join the American Homebrewers Association and subscribe to Brew Your Own Magazine through the associate links on basicbrewing.com. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. It's lunchtime. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.